Jay is not here, but if Jay were here, he would say something along these lines right now. Angel Baby's real. Angel Baby came from the year 3045, and Jay and I met Angel Baby in the Los Angeles forest after they came through this cyber gate, which Angel Baby, I'm going to drop some tiny alpha, which Angel Baby will be talking about more later this month.
Hey, David.
Hey, David. How are you going?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Mate, we're fantastic. Thank you so much for jumping on here.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
So you're based in New York, right?
I'm based in LA. I lived in New York for like 10 years. Now I'm based in LA. Grew up in Miami. Just like hitting like the major American cities, you know?
Which one do you recommend?
I mean, my heart will forever be in Miami because it's just like Miami is the prettiest of the three. Like Miami's just like paradise. Miami steals your heart. New York is the coolest. Like New York's just cool. I think New York might have the best people of the three. Like,
really?
Yeah. New York's got the best people.
And LA?
You know, LA is just LA. We'll leave it at that. So, there's great weather. Yeah.
True weather. There you go. I agree.
Well, welcome to Another Block Studios. Today we're talking to David Hume, a Scottish philosopher from 1711. He argues against the existence of innate ideas, posing that all human knowledge derives solely from experience. So, welcome. Oh, no, this is David Bina. Oh, David.
Oh, wait. Oh, that's next week.
David from Hume. Sorry. Got it mixed up here.
David Biner. For a second, I was like, is this the right Biner? And then I saw what you were doing.
So good. That's like your Twitter handle or something, isn't it?
It is my Twitter handle. For that reason, I was like, oh, our company is called Hume and my first name is David. Like,
I love it.
Classic.
So previously, you founded and you were CEO of a company called Abacus, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And so you were doing like a little bit of, I think it's crypto advisory.
That was from like 2017 to 2019. We call that crypto exploring.
Mad. Perfect.
I mean, but yeah, we were an advisory firm. We did research. We worked with like some VCs and did research with them. We like talked with a couple of wealth management firms. Like it was a time where everybody was trying to figure out like, what is this stuff and how does it work? And to be fair, like, so were we, but because we went so deep and we were quote unquote early, we knew a lot for the time. And, you know, for people who didn't know anything, we like developed a really nice niche of like being able to explain it to them. Like, what is Bitcoin? What is Ethereum? Why does this matter? Why should you care about it? Why does token make 0 cents for you to invest in, which was 99.7% of tokens? It was a lot of that. And then like a problem there, we were like, oh, this is going to be so cool. Cause my background before that was in product and product strategy as a consultant in general. So I was like, oh, why don't we just do this in crypto? But 99% of the projects, most of them weren't good. And then the ones that were good or were really interesting, didn't need somebody to explain to them how Ethereum works or like why they should care about Ethereum. Like those people didn't need to hire us. I mean, I'm happy. That time was a lot of fun.
Wow. And then so, okay, what I was going to ask was, okay, so you did that, you're exploring crypto, you're exploring, I guess you're looking at all facets of what's going on, and then you dive into what you're doing right now. And so was that because you were like, oh, there's an opportunity here, you just loved music? Like, how did you make that link? Do you know what I mean? Because you're seeing everything, and then you make this decision. I'm like, oh, this should be a well-informed decision, right?
Yeah, I had a secret weapon. The secret weapon was that during that whole time, my roommate and very good friend who I've known for 10 years plus, at that point we'd been living together for like 4 years, was now I'm in like 2016, 2017. We've been living together for like 4 years in New York, in Williamsburg, and he was a songwriter and producer, is a songwriter and producer. Before that, he had been an artist. So I'm learning a lot about the music industry, just living with him and I'm seeing like songwriters come. It was like, we always say like, I had like a normal job. Like I'd like, you know, get up early in the morning and like go to my job and come home. And I'd come home and like, you know, he'd have like other songwriters in his room and they'd be making a song to pitch to whoever. But long story short, I like started to see how the music industry worked through him and a lot of the things that he was frustrated by. And one of the biggest things I realized was like, oh, like Selena Gomez or like a lot of the biggest artists you've ever heard of on planet Earth don't actually write their own music. And would be like, yeah, like, you know, me and my friends in LA, or he was at one point, he was going a lot back and forth. But he's like, yeah, like, you know, there are artists like Billie Eilish is amazing. She writes, I'm pretty sure she writes all of that with Finian, but like, there are a lot of major artists. Like if you look at certain rappers or like certain pop stars and you go to the song credits on Spotify, there's like 10 or 20 people in there.
Yeah, that's so right.
I was seeing all this virtual stuff and then like songwriters. And then we start talking about like, well, this could lead to the metaverse and you can own a you can own your own digital object with NFTs. So like, what will that mean when you can own, I kept on calling them like digital objects back then. I was like, you'll be able to own your own digital object. Yeah. I mean, we just kept on talking about it and we started to get obsessed with this idea of like a virtual artist that could live in the metaverse. And this idea that like, if you have a metaverse, it's going to need native virtual artists because you're, even though like, sure, Selena Gomez can make an avatar of herself and it can go play in a metaverse, it can play in Decentraland or Sandbox or whatever. And that's really cool. And she can be, people will be very successful doing that. There's something different and more organic about something that's literally born from that community and world. And then we were also like, well, what's the difference between writing music for a pop star or a virtual artist? And then we had these other virtual artist DJs that we kind of like tested with and we put our own money into them. And we were trying to pitch it as a TV show actually at first, where like you would have virtual artists that also have a TV show. We got offered like a Google VR deal, which I was like, but is anyone like really, this was like in 2017, 2018 at this point. And I'm like, is anyone really going to like use VR right now? Like, I don't know. Like, even now, it's a little bit of a struggle. It is a struggle.
Yeah.
Like, math.
It still makes me feel sick.
And then we got a record deal offer from a pretty legit, like, a major label. And I had never seen a record deal before. And Jay was like, people don't usually give these, like, especially, like, this big of a label. And I was like, this just doesn't make sense. I don't know if you guys know much about label deals, but the way they work is there's an advance usually given to the artist. It's usually pretty small. The artist needs to pay all of that back before they start making any money. And the record label then like actually owns all the copyrights that are part of the deal. And usually it takes a percentage of like what they'll call it like entertainment income or like merch income. So like if you're in a movie or anything, like they're taking percentage of that. We're like, well, what if we just start our own business and don't do a record label and we can raise money and we can see what happens. And that is more or less how we ended up at Hume.
Wow. What a story.
That's incredible. It's really cool that you had the opportunity there and it's like, oh, this amazing opportunity has come up. Like this is incredible. Like no one gets offered record labels or whatever. And then you're just like, nah, we're going to do our own thing. Like, I think that's a really brave step towards like building your own product. So We Are Hume. That's obviously what we're talking about here. A record label that exists to preserve the open metaverse. So existing alongside Angel Baby, which is the metaverse character that we're kind of talking about. It's a really cool concept that you're saying that basically, if celebrities are the ones that are kind of the face of the brand, you know, and then someone else is actually doing the writing work, then, you know, why not just take it to a metaverse where you can just, you know, use the writers to actually create something for a digital character. So I think that's a really cool idea.
Jay is not here, but if Jay were here, he would say something along these lines right now, which is that Angel Baby is real. Angel Baby came from the year 3045, and Jay and I met Angel Baby in the Los Angeles forest after they came through this cyber gate, which Angel Baby, I'm going to drop some tiny alpha, which Angel Baby will be talking about more later this month. And Jay and I met Angel Baby from the Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles National Forest. And Angel Baby told us like about all this trauma they went through and the Zani Republic that controls the metaverse in the future. And we're like hearing all this and we're like, well, we've been talking about virtual artists for like 4 years now. And like, you're telling me you're an actual like meta star, a metaverse star in your time, and that there are metaverse stars in your time. And like all this stuff happens in the future. And that is when we started working with Angel. And that is also around the time Angel told us like, yeah, I'm a fluff. I don't know if you know the fluff community. Yeah. But they're awesome. And like, I'm a fluff, so we got to hit them up and like, you got to go talk to them. So.
Damn.
Yeah, that's the, yeah.
That's so sick.
Exists alongside the other project there as well. So with the idea is that the metaverse was previously closed, right? And so with only a few users kind of like coming together, it's now open. What is the difference between closed and open, and how are you guys kind of perpetuating that open metaverse concept?
It's more like we have the opportunity now to keep it open and to have it be open. And to us, that means two things. On the creative side, it's like, you know, we have a chance to create virtual spaces that can be open to creativity and where people can freely express themselves and create the art that they want to make and connect with anybody on planet Earth in these open spaces, and really unleash a period of like creativity that's never been possible when you have all of humanity, if we get there, like being able to meet in one spot or many spots virtually and create new types of art. And the other piece that it means on the technical side is to do that, you need to be building on open source platforms, we believe. So, you know, for us, like, why is Ethereum so great? I'm not saying other blockchains aren't great right now or any of that, but just like, especially when we started building this iteration, like, Ethereum is a pretty open platform.
Yeah. that's super cool. I noticed, okay, so we're looking at your website and I was talking to Isaac. I've never said this to a guest before. I genuinely think your website is one of the most beautiful things I've seen online. Like the color palette and the way it's presented is absolutely phenomenal. And so like, honestly, it looks awesome. And I noticed when I was looking at your team, a lot of your team is very like creative 3D artist centric. As opposed to, you know, it's interesting to see how teams are skewed, because you can obviously outsource and use agencies for certain things as well, and certain things are better in-house. Could you maybe speak to the team? I know you mentioned Jay. Sounds like he's come up with a lot of the narrative and the creative behind it. Could you maybe speak to the team and some of the, some of the stuff that your team brings to the project? Because I think that's the creativity is like what holds this together, and it looks so beautiful at the moment. And so,
So when you said that, I was going to say Ethan Young's our creative director, and Mikey Caro. I always forget if Mikey's legal name is Michael or Mikey, but we call him Mikey. Mikey's our 3D director. And they are unbelievable. Like, they're just absolutely incredible. All the work they put out is amazing. Not only did Ethan like design that website, he was also a part of like that hero image, and him and Mikey put that together. Mikey's making sure like Mikey loves when stuff looks as high quality as it does. And so, I mean, so does Ethan, they both do. But and their backgrounds, to give you a little more, Ethan has an enormous amount of experience, especially in the agency world. Like, he's worked with Nike, he's worked with Google, he was a designer. And Mikey also, like, Mikey's just been, he just loves messing with 3D art. Like, he's been, I don't even know for how long he's been messing with 3D art, but he has been messing with it forever and had his own character that he was developing with the League of Legends game, I think. And their work speaks for themselves. And the other thing to mention that was really cool for us in talking about the team is just Jay and I met them and they both had a side project together, or like their own business together. It was called Young Caro. And they were basically making fully 3D music videos and lyric videos and doing creative for a lot of artists. So when we met them, we were like, wait, you're doing fully 3D videos for music artists right now and understand like the style that's needed and what's needed for it to look cool and for it to feel authentic. And we just, we were like, okay, let's start work. Like, we need you. So they're amazing. We have Gio. Gio's in Brazil. He's like in a bunch of Discord communities down there and with 3D artists and is really a giant part of that 3D artist community in Brazil and a great artist himself. And then the 3D team gets bigger. But Mikey and Ethan, obviously, like all those, the beautiful visuals you're talking about, it's all them.
Sounds like you got like an all-star team of creatives coming together. And
how'd you do it?
Making
it.
Something. Yeah, no, that's really cool. So it looks like the Genesis drop has three tiers of influence. It's got rare, ultra rare, legendary. And all of those are built to reward you for sticking around with an artist that's part of Hume over a long period of time, right? So one thing that really stands out is that POAP holders, proof of attendance protocol holders, have this unique benefit. So the creators on the platform seem to be, so they're the metastars are on the platform. So how does a proof of attendance protocol holder kind of play into the journey of the metastars as they gain popularity? Like are they attending metaverse events and that's how they're getting the POAPs, and does that unlock more for them? Like they would get to have priority in a future event or get like merch or something like that? Like, do they get exclusives because of that?
So in the beginning, let's go back to the beginning. We did the POAP drop right around, that's not really the beginning, but the beginning of the POAP. The beginning of the POAP was right after Art Basel, which was Angel Baby's first live performance. And I think there were 334 POAPs claimed. And for until the Hume Genesis, POAP was like Angel Baby super fans, and it was like the ultimate Angel Baby item. Half the POAP holders got a scene drop, the other half got the other scene drop. There was an Adam Carr Club drop. There was a lot of power around the POAP. Going forward, with the Hume Genesis, all POAP holders were allow listed for that mint. So you got the Hume Genesis. And now the Hume Genesis acts as everything that you were just alluding to. So the POAP still exists, but the power and like our core asset right now is the Hume Genesis. The Hume Genesis comes with these three different tiers. There's the legendary tier, the ultra rare tier, and the rare tier. They all come with a different level of influence. Legendary having the most, ultra rare the second most, rare the least. And we're soon going to be launching the spot, which is where Hume Collective members will come together, be able to preview a track before it comes out, sign in, connect their wallet, be able to get into the spot with their Hume Genesis. And we want to create this experience like I used to have with Jay of like listening to all these songs before they come out and Jay being like, I don't know, like if like I should send this version or like should this be the single. And like now the Hume Genesis holders can like listen to two songs and be like, no, it should be that like this is the one, we got to release this one, or we got to release this other one because XYZ reason. And we did a little bit of that on Discord over the summer, but with the spot it's going to be a fully immersive experience where you sign in with your NFT and are really able to be part of it.
Okay, that's really cool. So Angel Baby, as we've mentioned a bunch of times now, is your meta star, I think is what you call it. And I guess the question is, are they going to be future? I think I could assume there might be some additional ones. But thinking more towards like the artist perspective here, I was actually, the thing that made this project really interesting is a while ago I was talking to a different artist and in a really specific niche genre, and he has sort of like a bit of a dream to do something similar to what you're talking about. And it was before I even knew that Hume existed. And the thing that kind of excited him the most was that right now, him as an artist is boxed into a particular category, but he has the heart to write songs and to almost to be an artist, which could assume a bunch of different characteristics. And so he could see that in a bunch of other artists that he worked with. And so the thing that was really exciting about the concept to him was that you could place some people behind a Metastar artist who are writing the songs, and they could write genuine real songs about being a farmer out the back of Texas, but they couldn't write that song as like a pop star in LA, because people would be like, what are you talking about? You're not that person. Or even something like maybe some random blues song or whatever it is. Is there, like, from maybe from Jay's perspective, is there that involved? And how is the, you know, let's say we get to a point where there's 5-10 artists. I don't know if that's even the intention. Is there a world where there's all of these people collaborating together to create the songs? How do we get songs for these artists? Is it all from Jay? Is all the responsibility on him? Like, how does that work?
So, I mean, first of all, Angel Baby is an incredible artist himself. But let's talk about Jay for a little. And it'll segue well into that. But Jay's background was, you know, producer, songwriter. Jay's had songs with Selena Gomez, G-Eazy, Demi Lovato, like big cuts. And even, you know, on those songs, Jay's writing with different teams of writers. So for us, you know, even if it's an Angel Baby track, Angel Baby had a camp, I think it was in April, and there were other writers brought into that camp. Jay is obviously in those rooms, executive producing everything, because I don't even know how many songs Jay's written in his life, but he's able to be in all the rooms as the songs are being written and developed. I mean, and the other thing that we've done, we don't talk about this too much, but, and a lot of people don't realize this, songwriters usually do not get, they only get paid on royalties related to the song through publishing. And we actually pay the writers a fee for just like showing up to the day. And that was really important to us to, you know, I'd be like, Jay, you just like, you're telling me you just spent like 8 hours today with these people, like writing music, and you don't even know if you're going to get paid anything. And they didn't even buy you lunch. Like, so that's been important to us too, more just on the industry side, just making sure, changing the way songwriters are valued and doing what we can to, you know, if you're going to show up and write a song, should get, you know, you're spending time. There should be something
there. Yeah, cool. So Hume is backed by a couple of notable investors, no doubt some connections you would have made in across previous things you've worked on. So there's names including G-Money and Distributed Global and many others. So there's a Series A fundraising announcement coming soon. If there's a Series A, does that mean that there's further room for angel investors? And like, are you excited about the whole cap table side of it? Or does it all work with say a crypto project, especially during like the middle of a bear market? Like, how does that, how do investors go looking at say a little bit more speculative music projects?
You know, we did our seed round back in August, and we met G-Money, might have been 2 years ago now, in April of 21, I think. So like before Bored Apes even. And I can say very strongly that, you know, meeting G-Money, the connections I had and like some other people we were able to meet in that period, like all these people have pushed us forward tremendously. And, you know, we have the A coming up, but even going back to the seed, having people like G-Money, Delphi, Distributed Global, was huge, because they're a great sounding board, especially in a space that's constantly changing. And especially when you have a mix of I think it's important, you know, we don't just have, these aren't random people investing in us. These are people that either are entrepreneurs themselves in the space. Like G-Money is asking himself the same questions we have to ask ourselves a lot. Like, where's the space going? How do I do this drop? Who do I partner with? Like, what do holders want? You know, and then on the VC side, like they're, especially the kind of VCs we've been able to see, get investment from, you know, they're seeing a lot of entrepreneurs who are asking the same question and are able to be a great sounding board. So if anything, all those parties have like helped Hume get to where it is and help us like make sure, you know, not that we don't know what's important and what to prioritize, but when you're, you know, in the thick of it and you're about to make a, just, you're like, well, should we do this or this? And then you have someone who can reinforce the thing that you know is right. And you're like, yeah, I don't know why I was even thinking about doing that other thing. Like from people who know what they're talking about, it's huge. And in terms of the A, what I would say is there's a lot to do with Hume that people don't know about yet. So.
Yeah, cool. A bit of foreshadowing there. That's good.
I like it. That's really good. I noticed that I think there's three tracks. I could be totally wrong here, and they're on Audius that I noticed, and I think the combined was like almost 100k streams, which is really cool. Is there a reason why the tracks are all on Audius as opposed to like standard DSPs? Is there sort of a bit of a strategy behind that?
Yeah, you know, our goal with Angel Baby up until this point, and specifically with Angel Baby, was like, let's have Angel Baby be a, we want Angel Baby to be able to say like, I'm a legitimate Web3 artist. And in having a super concentrated strategy that was highly focused on Web3, we were able to achieve that. Like all two of the three music NFTs went to number one on OpenSea on the music NFT side. Like you just said, 100k streams on Audius is like puts you in the top 1% of artists on that platform. And I believe all the songs were in the top three trending at one point. And again, two of them went to number one on Audius trending. So for us being able to build, you know, we know our core audience right now is Web3. And we believe that there will be artists that start in Web3 and break out into Web2. And we've wanted to focus on that audience. So for now, focusing on the Web3 audience has been super important for us in building this. In the future, you know, there could be traditional releases.
Yeah, cool. That's awesome. That's a cool little breadcrumb. Okay, that's awesome. Okay, so could you talk a little bit more about just the narrative here? So first of all, just a clarification for people who maybe missed it. Angel Baby is a fluff, and so fluff is a project of itself. And I assume, like in the same way that like maybe Bored Ape Yacht Club, which people have heard of and stuff like that. And so I assume that project allows you to, you know, use the rights of that character and stuff like that. And so that's where she was birthed, which is really, really cool. It's projects that do that, I think, are awesome. You talked about first of all, when I was reading the website, I was so confused because it is this narrative, and I wasn't reading it as a narrative. I was reading it like factually, and I was like, who's the Zanny Republic? I'm like Googling them. I'm like, these people don't like, what's going on? I don't know how much you can speak to it, because I know some of this is maybe Jay's birth child, you know, but where did like the Zanny Republic come from? The year 3045, like what's the significance of that? Just like little bits and pieces like that to fill in a bit more of the gaps for people.
So what I'd say is a lot of those gaps will be filled in the next 3 to 6 nice. Months. Cool. Angel Baby is going to have a lot to say about it. I think that's all I'll say about it for now. But there's going to be a lot of that story is going to get told by Angel Baby. And a lot of it has been told. What I'd say is like the backstory has been laid out, and people haven't, you know, even you know what you're able to like come on here and say Zanny Republic to me, which 8 months ago, no one would have said that.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, the story will unfold.
Love it. So good.
Very good. All right. So this has been Another Block Studios. We've had our great guest from We Are Hume, David. So where can people find out more? What do you want to direct people to? The website, the Twitter? What's the main place?
Yeah, if you want to follow Angel Baby, at Angel Baby, Twitter's, this is Web3. Twitter's the best place to follow them. Follow Hume, at We Are Hume. If you want to check out our website, wearehume.com. If you want to check out the Hume Genesis, if you type in Hume Genesis on OpenSea, you'll probably be able to find it. And if you want to listen to Angel Baby, go to Audius, which is a awesome Web3 music streaming platform, and you can listen, type in Angel Baby, you'll be able to listen to all three of their songs on there.
Perfect.
So good. Right. Thank you so much, David.
All right. Thank you, guys.